bless the Lord.
Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. In love and you're slow to anger, your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing, 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, worship your holy name. Oh, worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. His name is absolutely holy. He's perfect holiness.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and he is the King. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and he, through the cross and his death and his resurrection, extended amazing love to us, his own blood to cleanse us from our sin. That's amazing. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Would you honor the King, please?
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that that you, my king, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all that I do, I honor you. You are my king. You are my king. Jesus, you.
May the prayer of our hearts be that in all we do, we honor him. Amen? Amen. As we continue to raise up the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask you to sing loudly, okay? And sing from the heart, whether you have a good voice or not. Because, you know, in heaven, all the voices are put back in tune. There's a program you can buy for computers where if you sing a little off key, it'll correct it automatically. God does that, okay? You don't need to spend the money on the program. So sing loudly. Praise because God. The gospel is our country's only hope and the world's only hope. Amen. Amen? Amen? And he is mighty to save.
He is.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing, and mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Thank you, praise team and technical people. You may be seated. Great singing. Great singing. For our responsive reading today, I chose a passage in John 14. This is called the Upper Room Discourse. Excuse me. This is when Jesus had his disciples in the upper room. He was preparing them for what was to come, his death, his resurrection. And he wanted to make sure that they understood that obedience can never be commanded from the outside. It has to be something that happens from the inside out. And it has to be motivated by love, okay? So that's why you still see people as they drive talking on their cell phones, because external laws, you know, really don't change anything unless you get a $250 fine. Then maybe you might change, maybe, but you're going to sneak it. I mean, you know, when I drive around town, I see people hiding their cell phones, and it makes no sense to me because most cars now have hands-free stuff. But they'll be leaning on their door, and they'll be hiding the cell phone with the hand leaning on the door like this, and everybody knows what they're doing. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but what really bums me out is when I see the police doing it. So, you know, obedience is something that really can't be pounded into us, if I can put it that way. Biblical obedience comes from the heart, from the inside out, and it's motivated by love. So would you read this with me? If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you with you forever. Thank you. I got the thing here. And he is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Isn't that incredible? You know, love is not really a noun, in the syntax of it, it is, but love really is a verb. It's an action word. We can say words without action. They mean nothing. You want to do that, you could be a politician, right? Boy, I'm getting in trouble this morning. But, you know, words with action, now we're talking, right? And if we tell somebody we love them, well, we better show it in concrete ways, especially the Lord Jesus. He says it really plain, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So keep that in back of your mind as we go into the message today. I want to just lift some people up in prayer. Diane's brother, Daniel, is on hospice. He only has maybe a few more days before the Lord takes him home. He knows the Lord. He's, you know, when it happens, he's going to be in a far better place, and he knows that. But we need to pray for mercy, for, you know, as God continues to work in him, and pray for his family as they go through this. Also, if we can continue to lift up Cy Moffitt and, you know, pray for him, pray for Nancy. There are some who are not feeling well and are not here today. God knows who they are, so we'll lift them up too, right? Okay. Would you join me in prayer? Father, what a privilege it is to come before the throne of grace in prayer. And Jesus did that for us, Father. He prepared the way, and he leads us in to the throne. Father, we have lots to pray for. Father, I pray today especially for Daniel, that as he faces his last days, that he continue to rest in your promises, that your Holy Spirit who lives in him would comfort him, encourage him. We pray, Father, for minimal pain and discomfort. But, Father, as he passes through the portal of death, we know that when he closes his eyes on this earth, he's going to see his Jesus. And we rejoice in that. I pray, Father, for his family and his friends. They will miss him. We pray that you comfort them in their time of mourning, in their time of grief. And, Father, I want to pray for Cy, that you would encourage his spirit. And we miss him. We had just asked that you sustain him and even make him stronger, Father. I pray for Nancy, Father, that you encourage her as she takes care of Cy, and just give her encouragement that goes beyond measure, Father. And Father, for those who aren't here today, I know several who are not feeling well. We lift them up before you, Father. You know exactly what's going on. We pray for healing. We pray for restoration of health. And Father, for as we continue to worship, I pray your spirit would open our hearts and our ears, that we would hear what you have to say to us today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're on the last of the series about how to be an effective church. And if you want to follow along, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Acts chapter 13, we're actually going to start at verse 4. So I've got to turn my tablet on. Okay. Acts 15, verse 4. All right. Oh, thank you. It's interesting you should say that, Vince. In my house, I have a weather station in my house because I like to follow the weather. And I have external and internal. And this is the first time I can remember that the humidity in my house has been in single digits. That never happened before. So, you know, you wake up with the dry throat, the dry nose and all. And so when you get in the shower, it's like, I can breathe again. But the cold weather, I guess, does that. As we come into this passage, let me bring you to the verse. Okay. I want to ask a question. Be honest. All right. First of all, can anybody tell me the difference between hearing and listening? You can hear. Okay. And you can hear without listening. Isn't that true? Right? Now, some of us have a good excuse for that. I have ears that are not good. You know, I have a hearing aid. Some of you have hearing aids. And, you know, it's a good illustration for me. For me, sometimes in crowds, all I hear is noise. I can't hear. Unless you're talking to me directly in a crowd where there's a lot of noise, I can at least read your lips and get some understanding of what you're saying. But I'll tell you how this works out. This is a true story. Mary Lou and I, many years ago, Joey was real young, we went to buy a set of dishes at JCPenney's. They were on sale. And Joey was in a stroller, so I figured I'd be a smart guy. Mary Lou carried Joey. I put the dishes in the stroller, right? And I'm going along, and you know how curbs are uneven sometimes? Well, I hit the curb. It drops. It's shattered, right? So I bring him back in, and I was going to buy another set, and the salesperson looked at me. I guess she felt sorry for me. She just gave me another set. On the way out of the parking lot, I'm carrying them, right? And this is up at Ocean County Mall. And I have in my hand, I start crossing the street, and there's a semi coming, blowing his horn. And I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear it. So Mary Lou pulled me out of the way, right? She should know. She would have been a rich lady if she didn't, because at the time I was working for a company that insured me for $1 million. All right, and I mean, if she didn't do that, if the guy didn't stop, I would have been gone. The dishes would have been shattered again, you know, the whole nine yards. And that's because I mean, I can hear, but I couldn't listen to what's going on. I'm afraid that many of us are like that. The average attention span these days is 15 seconds. Uh-oh. There's finger pointing going on. I do marriage counseling after the service. If some of you who like to look at classic TV, you know, if you remember some of the scenes from I Love Lucy, Ricky's at the breakfast table reading his newspaper. She's talking to him. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. That's right. Can I buy a new dress? Yes, dear. Then when she comes home with the new dress, where'd you get that from? Well, you told me I could buy it, right? He was just yesing her to death because he was concentrating on the newspaper. And I think we do the same thing with God many times. We can hear but not listen. You know, the other illustration I use for this is when, years ago, I don't even know if they still do this because I haven't been in a Chinese restaurant in a long time. I'm not even sure if that's a politically correct term anymore. But years ago, when we used to go to a Chinese restaurant, they used to have column A, column B. You can, you know, pick and choose. And sometimes we come to the scriptures like that, right? There's stuff we want to hear and stuff we don't want to hear. Well, I'm going to take this, but this I'm not too crazy about. But here's a follow-up question. What about when the Holy Spirit talks to us? We ignore the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we grieve him. How would you feel if somebody gave you the silent treatment? You feel kind of rejected, kind of, you know, what should I do? The Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is a person and has feelings too. Can you imagine? And the Bible says very clearly, if we ignore him, we grieve him. So when the Spirit talks to us, and how does the Spirit talk to us? He talks to us through the Word mainly, but sometimes in that still small voice, or sometimes even through other people, right? And the key here, and I have to put this disclaimer in, when the Spirit talks to us and speaks to us, he says nothing that contradicts the Bible. Are we agreed on that? So I can't leave here and go rob a bank and tell you that the Spirit told me to do that. That would contradict the Word of God. And I know people who have done that. I know people who have done that. I mean, I've had people come into my office, people who were in struggling marriages, and one of the partners would say, "Well, you know, God told me to leave so and so." I would say, "What? No, that's not God. That's either a bad pizza you ate, or that's what you're telling yourself. God's not saying you abandoned." And you know, we would go on. This is so important and so, I believe, lacking in the American church, quite frankly, because we've had it easy. We've had it easy. And I personally believe that in the coming days, things are going to heat up in a lot of ways. There are a lot of churches in Ocean County that aren't even going to be able to open up again because of the COVID virus. And that's because of financial reasons. And so, you know, I picture Satan having a field day here, because whatever he can use to discourage us, to dissuade us from God, and keep us distracted from hearing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, he's going to do whatever it takes. But to be an effective church, we need to be an obedient church. That's why I told you several months ago that we will never close down again. We will never close down again. There will be a service here in some form, some way. We will never close down again. Look at this. We have Barnabas and Paul. They were commissioned now by the church because the Holy Spirit set them apart to do missionary work to the Gentiles. And look at this first line. It says, the two of them sent on their way by who? The Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Cyprus was Barnabas's home, by the way. That was the island from which he came. So they went down there. God led them down that way through the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice that there was no hesitation here. There was like, Lord, this week is bad for me. You know, let me do it next week. There was none of that. They went. They heard the call. The church affirmed them. And they went. But they went with a purpose. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. And John Mark, this is John Mark now, not the Apostle John, excuse me. John Mark was with them as their helper. So here's what they were doing. They went on this missionary journey, and they took a young man with them, who we know is Mark, by the way, John Mark, and they were giving him on-the-job training. Isn't that great? They were mentoring him on the job while they went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to spread the word of God. And they started with in the Jewish synagogues. Then commonly they would go to the marketplace and anywhere people would hear them and share the gospel with them. Here are the two things I want you to remember. To be an effective church, and let me just recap a little bit. We need to be a praying church, number one, corporately and individual. We need to be a discipling church, people who are willing to be mentored and people who are willing to mentor other people. And third, we need to be a church that listens to the word of God and is obedient to the word of God and the Holy Spirit. And then we need to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. This is exactly what was happening here. They shared the word of God in the synagogues, and John was with them. Look how this progresses. They traveled the whole island until they came to Paphos. Now, the whole island from east to west is 90 miles. Paphos was on the west coast, so they traveled 90 miles. They didn't take a jet. They didn't have cars. They walked. I don't know how long it took them, but they walked. On the average back then, people used to walk between 10 to 20 miles a day, okay? So it took them some time, and I'm sure along the way, They were sharing the gospel with people. They were sharing Jesus with people, right? But here's what I want you to see also. Whenever we share the gospel, whenever we take a step of faith for Jesus Christ, there's going to be opposition. There will be. If you don't have it now, you will. There'll be opposition. Why? Because the enemy doesn't like Jesus. He doesn't like Jesus. And the enemy will do everything he can to keep people from hearing the truth. Look what it says. They met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar Jesus. You know what this, I want to translate this literally for you. Bar Jesus means son of Jesus. That's what it means, okay? And, you know, this guy was shrewd. I mean, you're going to find out his real name in a minute. But this guy was shrewd because he took the name of the one who was the true Jesus and tried to influence others, riding on Jesus' coattails, but preaching evil rather than the gospel. And so here's how it goes. He was an attendant of the proconsul, or the governor, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul was an intelligent man. He sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. He was open. You know, when somebody comes to me and they say, you know, listen, I'd like to know about this thing called salvation. I like to know what it means to be forgiven. That rarely happens. But when it happens, you just sit there as long as you can and say, hey, God's got his hand on you. You need to know Jesus. And, you know, you work that through. And Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, they had an open door here. The governor of the island wanted to hear more about the word of God and the gospel. Do you know I pray for our governor? I may not agree with him, but I pray for him. That they want to hear the word of God. I pray for our president. That he wants to hear the word of God. Our vice president. We need this so badly. But here's an open door. And they took it. But with every open door comes obstacles. I don't know how many times, I've done a lot of Bible studies. I've done small groups. I've done men's groups. I've done mixed groups. I've done financial peace. Joey's done financial peace. We do a lot of groups, and inevitably people will sign up. And then when it comes time to meet, I'll get the call. Well, my car won't start. I have a flat tire. I don't feel like it tonight. Man, that's the devil. That's the devil putting stuff in front of you to distract you. Because God wants you there. He wants you there because God's got something for you. That is why pastors get a little bit upset when people constantly miss church. Yeah? I'll be very honest with you, because we need to come together. We need to hear the word of God. And it's not just churches to catch all on Sunday, but that needs to continue Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So Paul, excuse me, and Barnabas are going to get opposition. Here's the guy's real name. Elymas, the sorcerer, for this is what his name means. Means magician, the black arts, that type of thing. Opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Wow. But I want you to see what Saul, who we know is Paul, right? I want you to see how he handles this. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with who? The Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas. I want to translate this a little bit here. Filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight in the eyes of Elymas. You know, it's been my experience that when you look somebody straight into their eyes and you do it in the power of God, you can see straight into their souls. And this is what Paul said. He pulled no punches here. You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now listen. Because we all battle with a sin nature, even believers, right? It's the wrestling of the old nature with the new nature. Paul talks about that in Romans 7. And because we battle with it, humanly, we're more prone to believe lies than we are the truth. Right? Ever since the fall. After all, it started with the serpent lying to Eve. Does God really mean what he says? He doesn't mean that. You mean if you eat that fruit, you're going to die? Now, you know what God really means, Eve? That means if you eat that fruit, you're going to be like him. There's so many lies out there. We need to be able, with God's help, to discern and differentiate between lies and truth. Paul pulled no punches. He combated the lie with the truth. Isn't that what Jesus did in the wilderness with Satan? Satan came at him and he just shot right back at him with what? Words from Deuteronomy. Words from Numbers. Here's the truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we know we're going to get opposition, but we got to call opposition what it is. It's the devil. It's Satan and his cronies trying to discourage people from hearing the word of God. And now listen, this is Paul continues. He says, now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time. Excuse me. Not even able to see the light of the sun. Whoa. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. How ironic. This guy set out on a mission that he thought he was going to win, and now he becomes helpless. Now he's got to depend on someone other than himself. And you know what he's going to have to learn to do? Is trust. I'm not sure whatever happened to this guy. God knows. But look what happened as a result of this. When the proconsul saw what happened, he believed. He gave his life to Jesus Christ, even in the midst of opposition, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Have you ever had those moments when you've seen the Lord do incredible things and you say, this is real? This is real, right? We've also had those moments, if we're honest with each other, when we question, what if I'm wrong? What if the gospel isn't true? You know, I think everybody in their growth phase goes through that. But it is true. If there's anything you take away today, you got to take away this. We can never rely on our own feelings to measure the truth. Our feelings are our feelings. They're neither right or wrong, and we have to own them, acknowledge them. But our feelings aren't the final authority. It is the word of God that is the final authority. So sometimes when I have doubts, you know where I need to go? I don't need to go anywhere farther than the word of God. Because the word of God, remember we read this from Timothy last week too? The word of God is God breathed, and it is profitable to teach, to rebuke, to correct, and to equip. If I'm feeling bad one day and I'm saying, Lord, are you even listening? What nerve, right? Lord, are you even listening? I got to go back to the Word of God, because I know that my sin nature and Satan are trying to get in there to distract me. And then I finally realize God really means what he says. He really means what he says. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He really means what he says. So I want to ask this morning. Remember last week I asked you to grade yourselves? How are you doing, in certain areas? Here, I'm going to ask you to grade yourselves again. You need to be honest. This is before you and God. You don't have to tell me. Are you a listener or are you a hearer? Now, I'll give you one last illustration. And Joey's in the parking lot, so I hope he doesn't run me over after. When Joey was young, one of his chores was to take the garbage out, okay? And, you say, hey, Joe, take the garbage out. And you assume he heard you, right? Of course, we get selective hearing, don't we? He's not the only one guilty of it. Even adults are guilty of it, right? Uh-oh. Poor Brandy got picked on last week. Now he's getting picked on this week. It's all right, Brandon. We'll give you grace. How's that? But Mary Lou and I would talk. At that time, we lived in a bi-level house, okay? Had more rooms than we had furniture. And in this bi-level house, Joey would be up in his room. We'd be downstairs in the family room, right? And we start talking about Joey. That he heard. What is it with us? What distracts us from hearing the truth? What distracts us from hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit? We need to really do some digging and say, okay, Lord, forgive me. I need to be a better listener. I need to listen to your word better. Help me. I need to listen to your Holy Spirit better. Help me. Because then we will become an effective church. We'll be a praying church, a discipling church. A church that is obedient, not because we have to, but because we love Jesus and he loved us first. And a church that is willing to embrace the gospel, even in the midst of opposition. So you have homework. Kind of go home, do a self-examination. We're gonna conclude that series, but we're going to still be in Acts 13 next week. Whoop. You okay? All right. We'll still be in Acts 13 next week, and we'll continue to look at Acts. But listen, just one other thought. How many of you consider yourselves good at multitasking? There's a few, right? Margie's laughing back there. Listen, there's nothing wrong with multitasking. But I want to suggest this. When you're with God, put everything else aside. Otherwise, you're going to miss him. Put everything else aside. Love yourselves enough to make an appointment to be with God every day. Love yourselves enough to start in small steps and then see how God will expand that for you. Love yourselves enough to start to hear God tell you how much he values you and how much he loves you. Love yourselves enough to know that your identity is in Jesus Christ and no place else. Not in your looks, not in your bank account, not in your clothes, not in your car, but simply in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Chip and the ladies. We've got to call our new praise team. Chip and the ladies, Chip and the gang, come up. Now that's recorded forever. I want you to know. There is nothing and no one greater than our God. Would you stand, please?
Rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All will see how great is our God. From age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God!
How great our God!
Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God!
Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God! Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God!
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great,
will sing,
how great is our God. How great
above
is our God.
Great is our God. Let's hear it.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
And all will see how great.
Let's pray. Lord, would you dismiss us in the power of your Holy Spirit? Help us to be better listeners. Help us to love better as Jesus loved. Help us, Father, to take time each and every day to hear your word and hear the Holy Spirit. And help us, Father, to apply to our lives what you show us. And we pray this in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Great singing, great praise team. Thank you, technical people. Have a great day.
How great is our God. Sing.